ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is hour number two of the Sports Hangover here on ESPN New Orleans. Don't forget, coming up later today, you have the head coach Kenny Farrow show from 6 to 7 after Matt Moscona wraps up after further review. It'll be at Fit McCool's. They'll be having, of course, the updates on the Jesters, the FA Cup final recap, Champions League final preview, and World Cup headlines. We're getting closer and closer to the World Cup starting here in June. Brian, we got to pick a team. You got to pick a team to root for here.
I know. I mean, I'm pretty much going to go with the front runners. I don't know if I'm going to go Ronaldo or Messi just yet, but one of those.
It's funny you say that. Coming up this segment, we're going to set up a couple of things that we're going to then discuss in segment number two and shots fired. Bottom of the hour, Jay Cicero, CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. It's the group that presents the Super Bowl to the owners, which will be tomorrow. So he'll kind of break down that whole process, how it's different now. It used to be, you know, three cities, five cities, however it was, the process. Now it's just one that's presenting. So we'll touch on that coming up here in a second. Eastern Conference Finals, game four. We almost, Brian, had a close game.
Yeah.
Almost. It was like six points at one point?
Yeah, almost like six, 7 points they cut it to. And yeah.
But yeah,
then the King happened.
Look, all I know is this. He said it flat out. We got to give the credit to Marlon Favre.
What exactly did Marlon say?
Friday he came on the show and he said 2-2. Going back to Boston 2-2.
Man, prophetic.
Your boy, the King, LeBron James. Difference between games 1 and 2?
I mean, obviously we were a lot better defensively, flying around and making them take, contested shots and making them make the extra pass and still being able to fly around. And our communication level has been up, obviously, in the last two games. So we got to, as loud as it is in the garden, we got to be able to transfer that energy and that communication in game five in order for us to be better than we were in game 1 and 2.
8 p.m. is the Western Conference Finals game number 4. Warriors up 2-1, although if you've listened to national coverage, it's over. I mean, there's no point in even playing this game.
No, I mean, I agree, actually. There's no need for them to play the game. Let's just fast forward now.
Just give it over to the finals?
Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest about this.
Right.
Steph played horribly that first half, maybe, and then came out in the third quarter and just exploded. If Steph Curry is now back to being Steph Curry, the Warriors are going to smoke Houston, because the one thing we know that Houston is not very good at, pressure situations. They're going to crack.
If they fall short, do they go all in, as in mortgage the city of Houston, do whatever it takes, go all in for a certain LeBron James?
It's what they've done. I mean, pretty much Daryl Morey has come out and said, yeah. I mean,
at this point, what do you want?
I mean, that's all you do. I mean, that's all Daryl Morey has done. His entire thing has been, we're going to build a team to beat the Warriors one way or another. And we don't care how we have to do it, we're going to do it.
A team of Harden, Paul, and James beat the Warriors.
Yes. I think if they can, depending on what happens, because Chris Paul has to dominate the ball. LeBron James has to dominate the ball. James Harden has to dominate the ball. At some point, they have to figure it all out, but we've seen that happen before. I think they can.
I would look at that, again, I'm not a coach. I only like to play one occasionally on the radio. Paul's my PG. Harden, you're my shooting guard. I'm going to try to dish you the ball. And LeBron's a guy that has shown the ability in 1-2 to pass and play off of it.
Yes.
But that's how it would have to be. Like, I think the Rockets are the best, and it's something I talked to Dino about it yesterday. We'll talk to him at 2:30. Chris Paul needs to be the dominant ball handler.
Yes.
He makes the better plays in the reads and everything else. I think that's for them to happen. Harden dominant ball handlers, we've seen that before. They're very good. They win a lot of games.
Yes.
But you cannot do iso ball against him. And D'Antoni can, until he's blue in the face, keep telling me that's who they are. Stats are facts.
Yeah.
And in this case, in the two losses they were will dominant on that aspect. Now, granted, look, when the shots go down in Golden State, I don't care what you do.
Yeah, no, no, that's
I
no
mean, I don't care what you do. I mean, I've argued this already. You could argue four of the starting five are Hall of Famers.
Let's say,
right?
Let's say
I mean, you could argue that.
Let's say Houston gets not swept, but the gentleman sweep. Let's say they only win at one game. Who do you think looked better against the Warriors, the Pelicans or the Rockets? Because I think that's a question that the Pelicans front office is going to have to ask themselves watching this series.
See, now you just threw me all.
You know, it's kind of what I do. Because we're
state your case for the Pels.
I look at the idea of Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, Rajon Rondo, Nikola Mirotic. That's pretty much all you have.
I'm playing the Inception music.
But you, I mean, you can't count on Rondo offensively. Mm-hmm. You can't really count on Etuan Moore to do what he does on a consistent basis enough to compete with the Warriors. Mm-hmm. But the Pelicans gave them hell, and we're talking about possibly game two. If a call or two goes the Pelicans' way, we're talking about the Pelicans coming back to New Orleans up 2-1, and they win the home game. I'm sorry, tied 1-1. They win the home game. Now you're up 2-1 with that fourth game in New Orleans. Maybe the Pelicans don't look so flat coming out. Maybe they believe that, you know what, we got them on the ropes. Let's go for the kill. Or maybe the Pelicans just can look at themselves and say, you know what, we lost 4-2 to the possible defending champs. We're a lot closer than even we thought. And this is all without Boogie Cousins and without shooters. Mirotić is your only shooter.
Jordan, throw it out there. Who's looked better against the Warriors, Pels or the Rockets, so far in the postseason? Look, you make some valid points.
That's what I do.
That said, Alvin Gentry said in the season-ending post-game or post-conference,
yes,
they're not a player away
from beating the Warriors.
From being the Warriors or being in Houston's league. He said that now. Now, yes, okay, the one game Boogie said in the undefeated article in Marcus Spears' Houston game. Everyone wants to go that says, hey, Boogie at all costs, bring back Boogie. They're all pointing to that one Houston game because it was only like a 10-game sample.
Yeah.
Okay? But that one game, that Houston game in which the Pels beat the Rockets, yes, here, in which he got injured, everyone's like, aha, that's the potential this team can be.
Yeah.
That team that potential you can beat,
yeah,
got blown out by 41.
Yeah.
It's why I think, Brian, while you have a valid point, you have to understand this aspect of it. And it's what we just said. When those guys, their shots are going in, all four going in, there is nothing that you have. Boogie, whether it's, I don't know how you beat it. You know, I don't understand how you could possibly do it.
I think there's only one
way to
beat
the
Warriors.
Which is why we talked about, do you build your team to beat the Warriors, or do you build your team to try to be one of the best teams in a war in the Western Conference and see what happens? You know what I'm saying? Because you're playing against a team that it's just I don't know if matching shooter for shooter can be possible.
You can't beat them shooter for you can't out Golden State. But what you can do is what's the first thing Sean Payton said when he got hired? He said Bill Parcells told him, you look around the league, you find out what's been successful. And then you find out what stopped this team from being successful. Well, all you got to do is take that same formula. You look at what's gave Golden State trouble. Big teams. The Memphis Grizzlies at one time. The San Antonio Spurs at one time. These were teams that had something in common. Size. And Golden State couldn't match it. So you can play small ball all you want. But when those big guys start leaning on you, we're not talking about slow pokey big guys like what Memphis had with Gasol and Randolph. No, we're talking about athletic big guys that can move and shoot the ball from the outside like Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins. I think you go big ball and you possibly just bully Golden State until they quit. Because they're not a very physical team. We've seen this.
So I don't mean like you just said bring back Boogie at all costs then.
I said bring back Boogie. I ain't saying at all costs.
Well, you just said go play bully ball. If you're going to do that, then that's who it would be.
You play bully ball. But then again, you know, Boogie might be in Dallas next year, so what am I talking about?
Yeah, well, that is the case. That's something that you wanted to bring up, of course, as not even really the rumors. And again, I you shouldn't be surprised. This is what you're going to be seeing, right? Sources, rumors, things of that nature. And, of course, it is, Brian.
Yeah, that Boogie is the Dallas Mavericks are really hot after Boogie Cousins. They're also going to try to make some trades for other guys as well. They said DeAndre Jordan is another guy that's on that list. Surprising considering
bigs.
What he did him last time.
They're looking for bigs.
They're looking for bigs to go along with their shooting, you know, that they have on the outside. But in order for you to get Boogie, if he doesn't outright sign. And I don't think he's going to do that to the Pelicans. I think if he's going to leave, he'll give them the option to do a sign and trade so he can get everything that he wants
you
to get.
You think so?
I think he would.
This is a guy that says about loyalty and love and all of that.
I don't think the Pelicans have said anything to show Boogie any disloyalty. I mean, you heard Gentry just come out yesterday at the Saints gold tournament event that they want him back. But it's always going to be at the right price. And if, you know, I guess if Boogie feels like it's disloyal for somebody to say, yeah, but look.
Disrespect.
We'll give you some money. But we're just not going to give you the 4 years that you're looking for, maybe the fifth year that you're looking for, because we need to protect ourselves.
I've said this
as well.
All along. It's going to take one team. All it takes is one team to offer 4 years to your three, and now you have to decide if you want to match it or not.
You know what? If somebody's willing to give Boogie a fourth year coming back off that Achilles injury for a big guy.
Okay, let me ask you this, because he says it's about loyalty, it's about money.
It's also about winning,
but
according
to him.
But
it's about winning.
Yeah.
Now, again, according to him, let's assume the Pels have offered 3 years, the third-year player option, which means it's only two guaranteed.
Right.
Dallas says we'll give you four. They come back with 3 years guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
fourth-year player option.
Mm-hmm. I think if you know,
I think as a Pels fan, I'd be comfortable with that, but no more.
If you're the Pelicans, you don't put the pressure on yourself. You put it on Boogie. You make him make the decision. You said you wanted to win. Well, we just showed you that we can go toe-to-toe with the defending champs.
You're making the case the Pels looked better,
they looked better
than
the Rockets
thus
far.
The Warriors.
I mean, of course, the Rockets had that big blowout win. So did the Pelicans have a big blowout win. The Pelicans have played the Golden State Warriors, in my opinion, closer than what the Rockets have.
During
and the Rockets
season
have more
as well,
talent.
Too. In the regular season, they had the lead. It just could not close out.
We're talking about the Rockets, who had the best record in the NBA.
I'm just saying it's not over yet.
It's not over yet.
The series isn't over against the Rockets, so I don't know why we're comparing the two.
Oh, I can tell you exactly why, because you can go ahead on and just pencil this one in. They'll win by 30 tonight.
By 30?
By 30. Here's what's going to happen. The Rockets are going to come out, you know, trying to be, you know, as the kids say, lit.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come out on fire. And then all of a sudden, Golden State's going to look at that. They're going to take that punch and they're going to laugh. Is that all you got?
My favorite text from Brian during the Warriors games is, here comes the Warriors.
Here comes the Warriors death blow, because it's coming. We all know it's coming. When that team gets, here's the problem. I've never seen it. Not in the history of the NBA. Not with Jordan. Not with the Celtics. Not with Magic's Lakers. Not with any team. I've never seen a team that can erase a deficit and not just erase it. Double you up afterwards.
We talked about
in a
this
matter of
during
seconds.
The Pels Warriors series, right? Yeah. That they put so much pressure on you.
You can't afford to
while
take a
you
miss.
Play. It's, well, that's what I'm saying. You're down five. I have a bad shot. Shot clock violation. Just a bad shot. Oh, I miss my layup.
You miss your layup.
They hit a three. It's now an 8-point game. I come back down. It's a turnover. They hit a three. It's an 11-point game. What just happened?
Yeah, I mean, in a matter of
minutes. Seriously, you went from a 5 to an 11-point deficit in two. How did that just,
Reggie Miller. Remember the Reggie Miller play in which he scores like 9 points
Reggie
in like 8 seconds?
Miller team.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what's so insane about Golden State.
Okay, so to your point, and again, these are questions the front office is going gray over. How do you build, because it's not just the Pelicans. It's anyone else that's watching, because now look, LeBron had a sick game yesterday.
Oh, his stats were insane.
Insane. 44 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. He took the bulk of the scoring on. He did. But I'm watching that game last night. And
yeah, Boston was
let me
still
tell
right
you
there.
Something. If you thought the 41-point beating of Houston was ugly.
Yeah.
Boston's problem is they don't have a preeminent scorer.
Correct.
Like, everything has to work. Now, again, I don't – Boston missed layups.
Yes.
Boston missed jumpers that are at the rim. I mean, it's
crazy. Shots they normally make.
It's right there. And it's nuts how when they go back to Boston tomorrow, miraculously those shots are going to sink in and go in.
Oh, yeah, they'll fall.
That said, that's the thing that's nuts, right? But they're not capable of going toe-to-toe with Golden State.
No.
I just – no way, not the way they're playing right now. The Cavs have size. And you and I have always talked about this. It's not just Boogie and DeMarcus, DeMarcus and AD that you're looking at. You need size at the guard position.
Yes.
You need, in order to make Klay Thompson and Steph Curry uncomfortable, and that's why, again, I don't, it's not that Kyrie didn't play the D and all that stuff, but you forced Curry or Thompson to have to play D
yes.
to try to stop a guy like a Kyrie Irving. That's what sort of helped there.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you look at the starting five yesterday, Hill 13, Thompson 13, J.R. Smith with 9, Kevin Love with 9, LeBron 44, though. I mean, Kyle Korver had 14 points off the bench. Was the difference maker of the game,
though. He really was. He hit really big shots.
Exactly right. So, but my point, though, is the Cavs have to have a great night from handful of guys
to keep up.
To beat Boston, who doesn't have a preeminent score. LeBron will have to score 70.
Yes.
Against the Warriors.
And, I mean, I just think that's why Golden State, when Golden State got Kevin Durant, it changed everything. Because there's nobody, and I mean nobody, that can guard Kevin Durant. Well, you can slow him down, but you cannot stop him. And, I mean, Drew Holiday did his absolute best. He got into his body. He did what Dino talks about a lot. He got into his body. But he just couldn't make up for that 7-inch, you know, difference as far as height. And, of course, KD's wingspan.
So you don't think Houston can win the night?
No. No. No, now if the game was in Houston, I'd give them a puncher's chance. In Golden State, in Oracle, when Golden State's going to take that first punch you do, and they're going to laugh. You know Mike Tyson, the old plan, everybody has a plan to get punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Houston's going to come out swinging. Golden State's going to take it,
We saw it against the Pelicans, exactly. Even in the game that they won here.
Exactly.
I mean, you never thought, I think I had a tweet.
You never felt comfortable.
I had a tweet. I want to say I was accurate on this. The Pels are up 17, and it feels like they're up 7.
Yes, you did. You did. I remember.
You were waiting because you know at any second, they can go bananas.
Nobody erases a team.
No, people in the Smoothie King Center are like, and you're looking at the clock.
Yes.
You're looking at the clock. I mean, it's almost like you remember Montana back in the day or Brady's got still
time on a clock. You can't leave them time on a clock.
You can't because if they have half a game to go, your 20-point lead means nothing.
Not to that team. Because again, it's not, and here's the thing. They put so much pressure on you because you could take a good shot and miss. And that miss, if it's a long rebound, they're already out.
I mean,
and they're not teams that's going for a layup. No, they're going right to the 3-point line. They're going to erase that deficit.
It's funny you say that as we go to break. Chauncey Billups, it's the big shot. Right, was on this morning on Golic and Wingo, and he said the thing about the Warriors and what you've seen about this playoff as to why all these games have been almost blowouts. He said the 3-point shot has not only become a deadly weapon like it had in years past that can change the game, they allow you to blow teams out. If you have, he said, 2-3 3-point shooters like the Warriors have, and they all just make three, do the math.
You've got even Draymond can nail the three, you know, with some
four.
Type of consistency. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's
four.
Insane. Oh, that's the starters. We're not even talking about the guys coming off the bench that can nail shots.
No, I mean, it's
a cheat code.
To do it. No doubt about it. We'll come back. We'll touch on a little bit more and then do a little shots fired here on the next segment. We'll have a little bit of fun. It's Brian and Elise, Gus Cattingill with you. It's the Sports Hangover coming bottom of the hour. Jay Cicero, CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, is going to touch on the bidding process tomorrow. New Orleans will look to seal Super Bowl 58 in 2024. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Brian, looking forward to, of course, having the man that's going to be presenting tomorrow, Jay Cicero, coming on. The theme for the Super Bowl is?
NOLA, 2024-7 Super Bowl. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah,
2024-7.
Getting beat down in the shot. Yeah, get beat down. That's what happens to you.
Here we go. Time for shots fired. Jordan, the intern, try not to mess this up. All you got to do is present the topics. Can you do it? Are you capable of doing it?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Go. Number one.
Super Bowl, big deal or not a big deal?
Well, since I like to, you know, bring you these beat downs, and this one here will be brought to you by a pencil. You can write with it. Because,
Okay.
All right. Well, because I am, you know, the New Orleanian.
Yep.
I am, you know, everybody's, you know, people's champ. I'm all in favor of this, but New Orleans needs to find some type of way to redirect. I don't care how you do it. Come up with a new plan because everybody's going to be downtown. We already know this. But when I got to go to work in this downtown, I don't care if you're out there having a good time, you're partying and you're drinking. That's not my concern. My concern is getting to work and getting home so I can pay my bills on time. And I don't want your drunkenness all over my car. I don't want you in my parking lots. I don't want you taking up space at the traffic lights. I don't want you anywhere around me because I have a job to do and I'm trying to do that. So yeah, go ahead on, get your party on, but confine it over there to a certain area. Make sure you do contraflow traffic or do something. I don't care if you put a crossing guard up. Hell, you can go find McGruff the crime dog. Whatever you gotta do, make sure I'm able to get to work and get home on time, and I have no problems with it. But you don't, do you? No, you wanna block up traffic. You wanna have your little parties extending all the way to La Place. You wanna bring it Slidell the other way. You even got hotels in Chalmette now. Can you please give me some area I can go in the city where I don't have to deal with you drunks?
Would you like some cheese with that wine? What kind of wood would you like me to fashion your cane from? Old man McGrumpers, get off my lawn. Seriously? At the most you have to deal with is 5 days. At the most, and that's if most of the people come in on Wednesday. The bulk of the folks will probably be on the weekend, and you're probably not going to be there anyway because the businesses know. So you'll probably will fashion some sort of way to not be around there for that situations or so. And at the end of the day, it's not about you. No one cares. No one cares about you. No one cares about your Tom. No one cares about drunks on your parking lot or in your park tar because you know what? All they care about is the $500 million that comes to the city in economic impact.
That's the problem. Nobody cares except Nobody for us cares little about guys. You. Nobody cares about
Nobody.
Us. We need somebody to speak up for us, and I'm here for all
is
of
that
us.
What you're doing?
I'm here to make sure that yeah. you're able to
How
get to
How much money do you bring into
back.
The city?
I don't know, maybe a couple of bucks.
Couple of bucks.
Yeah.
That's a probably right, yeah.
A couple of
these
bucks.
These McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, we go Fridays. Yeah, whatever we leave the server.
Yeah, you know, yeah. pretty much.
Couple bucks.
Yeah, couple yeah. bucks.
Something not like $500 million.
Well, it's not like they're going to do anything with it. I mean, I can go drive down to Legion Fields right now, and it's still tore up.
That's very true. There is one quick complaint before we get to topic number two, and it's a complaint because we do, when I leave, I go straight down St. Charles,
yeah.
all the way to Howard, and I take a right.
Yeah.
If you're not from here, because I rip people all the time and I'm honking on them, but you know what? They're out-of-town plates.
Yeah.
They don't know that St. Charles Avenue is a two-lane highway.
No.
Because you know why? There's no paint on the road. It's probably one of the most popular streets of the city.
I would
hey,
say so.
Who's the new mayor?
That'd be Mayor Cantrell.
Or something? Yeah. yeah, whatever. How about can you find a bucket of paint somewhere? You know what? I'll donate it. I'll go to Lowe's this weekend.
Yeah.
I'll drop off a bucket of paint. I'll do it, as a matter of fact, and I'll do little white hashes because from Poydras to whatever used to be Lee Circle is yeah. going to be called, there's no dotted line, and people ride the middle, and it aggravates me.
Yeah,
well, because people don't know it's a two-lane road.
When Tom Benson Circle gets, you know, put back, then you can do yeah. that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, Tom Benson
Why
Circle.
Why isn't it called the G-Cat Circle?
Because no, just be, nobody likes you.
That is very true. Only $2 for my statue. Yeah. Topic number two. I'm up 1-0.
No. Brian won that round.
Thank you.
Topic number two. Why are you not on board with soccer?
Exactly. Why are you not on board with soccer? I'm starting this one because ESPN.com, and of course, they would never be wrong. Ever.
Yep. It's on the internet.
They have come up with the third annual ranking of the biggest name in deportes. The world famous top 100. They use search score, how many, you know, times you get searched and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Endorsements and social media following. I'm still, by the way, really upset more people follow you on Twitter than me.
Follow
I,
me
I don't understand.
At Brian Tino.
Follow me at GCAT_17. All right. Here's your top five. You ready? Your top five. Are you ready for this? Jordan the intern. Number one, Cristiano Ronaldo. What sport does he play?
Soccer.
LeBron James, number two.
Ball.
He plays basketball. Lionel Messi, number three, what does he play?
Soccer.
Neymar, what does he play?
Soccer.
Roger Federer is five. Tiger Woods, six. That's tennis and golf. Kevin Durant, seven. Rafael Nadal, eight. That's tennis. Steph Curry, nine. Phil Mickelson, 10. That's your top 10. You got to go all the way to number 38 for Tom Brady. You and your football-loving Americans that hate soccer for some reason. You can go on and on and on. The endorsement deals, the money they make. It's not even close. Ronaldo, 121 people follow him on social media. 100 search score. Messi, Neymar. Do you even know who Neymar is?
What does he do?
See, that's what I'm saying. Why are you not on board? Everyone else is. Number one sport in the world is?
That'd be football.
No, it's called football. It's soccer.
Oh,
number two sport in the world. You looked it up over here on the article that we looked at.
That'd be basketball.
That would be basketball. Where's the NFL? Because cricket's three, tennis is four, athletes like track and field is fucked. Where's the NFL? Hockey, as a matter of fact, is ranked higher.
Okay, NFL is 12.
12?
Yeah, 12.
Yes. Because you know what I get when we talk soccer? Talk more football.
Why are you talking about soccer?
Exactly.
Who wants to, you know what? I'm just gonna take
Why are you not on board?
I'm just gonna just go and say it. Because I'm an ugly American, and I don't care about your stupid little football. You can't even use your hands in that sport. So why would I ever want to do it? Do you know what I got time to do? I got time to see Tom Brady throw the ball downfield. I want to see Ben Roethlisberger throw the ball to Antonio Brown, and for him to do silly little dances after he scores. I want to see Odell Beckham Jr. catch it with all his zestiness, with his little blonde hair, with one hand going across the goal line. Do you know what I want to see? I want to see Alvin Kamara hurtling over somebody. You know what I don't get to see when I'm watching football? I don't get to see somebody mysteriously fall down when nobody touches him, and all of a sudden the magic spray can comes out.
Magic aerosol can.
They spray a little bit of Crisco on there, yep. And all of a sudden now nothing's wrong with the guy.
Nothing is wrong, and he'd probably score a goal right afterwards.
Yeah, I don't understand what red cards and yellow cards, and I don't care if it's Lions, Tigers, and Bears. What I want to make sure my Lions, Tigers, and Bears come in is a football helmet. That's what I want to see, Gus. I don't care about your stupid little soccer game. You know what? You ain't even got enough people to play soccer. I only need me to go play football.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I'll say this. Here's soccer, and I don't see them with the CTE.
CTE?
It's safer.
Do you know why they don't have CTE? Because they fall on the ground when nobody touches them.
I won't.
They invented, you know what, basketball took it from soccer. They invented flopping. Mm-hmm. Nobody even touches the guy and he falls down. They got people biting and licking each other's faces over there. You know what? You know where you don't see that at? On the gridiron.
They
call it the pitch in soccer.
Exactly.
It's the gridiron in football.
You're trying to give me Tom Brady. That dude's like ready to go. He's not even at OTAs. He's too old to go to OTAs. When he gets up, I can scroll. It's like in the 50s until the next NFL player. They're not known worldwide. It just isn't happening.
They don't have to be worldwide. America's the greatest country in the history of this planet. We don't need to be worldwide, baby. We got it all right here in natural in New Orleans.
So you're saying you'd rather football instead of football?
I'd rather good old American beat him up. You just got slobber knockered hit. Football, give me some of that snot bubble love, baby, because that's what we're going to need. I want to see somebody get hit and everybody says, ooh, not somebody kick a ball over the goalpost and we'll start all over again.
He did not win that
with
one. No one asked you what the score is.
You know what? My football players are tougher than a two-lot of steak. That's what you got over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Brian, fine. You know, you can make all the fun you want, but when they're driving their, you know, Lamborghinis and Ferraris and, you know, they make the money and they're watched and they're loved.
By who?
Yeah. The world! They're the most popular sport in the world. Why aren't you on
what
board?
World? You know, the world is flat.
You know, oh my. It's not flat. Quick break. We come back. Jay Cicero scheduled to chat with us. We will chat with him, and we'll continue two more rounds of shots fired still to come as well. Brian wants to touch on Joe Burrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
Going to get with Jay Cicero here in a matter of minutes. We'll continue our shots fired segment. Brian and Ola East, I'm up 2-0, even though Jordan, the intern, wants to lie and say that is, 1-1.
No, it didn't
say 1-1.
At the
very least, it's 1-1.
No, you lost both.
It's not even close. No, it's not.
You don't even put up a fight in these things anymore.
No, it's not. Anyway, Jay Cicero is joining us here, CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. I'll continue the beating here shortly. Jay, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us on the Sports Hangover this afternoon.
I'm good, Russ. Gus, how are you?
Doing fantastic, man. I know it's a big day tomorrow. Kind of get us a little bit into this process. Brian found the theme, essentially. I love the theme that we're going with tomorrow. Tell us about it.
Well, the theme is it's easier to do a Super Bowl here. There's no secret about that. It's less expensive to do a Super Bowl here. And it is the absolute best city to host a Super Bowl. So that's pretty simple stuff that we all know, but not everybody else seems to understand all the time. The media knows it. The fans know it. I think the owners actually do know that. But we've lost a couple to new stadiums in the past 3 or 4 years, and hopefully tomorrow will be our time.
Jay, NOLA 24/7 is the logo. I love it. Makes perfect sense. You know, obviously, that the party never ends around here as well. You mentioned it, so I'll bring it up because of the stadium thing, and that's just kind of what it is. We touched and opened the show on how over the South Florida stadium, what, $500 million renovations. I know there's talk about and studies being done right now for the dome. Is that a challenge that has presented itself, not only having to compete against that, but in just this initial presentation? We don't know what maybe the dome of that footprint, that era, is going to look like.
Well, we're assuming it's going to, if nothing happens, then it's still a great place to host the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, we've got the, we have the college football championship game coming here in 2020. We're partnered with the Sugar Bowl on that event. We've got the men's Final Four coming here in 2022, partnered with Tulane University on that event. And hopefully tomorrow we'll have the 24 Super Bowl. All three are coming because this facility is what it is. They're not expecting any difference in this facility. But if we do get upgrades,
right,
and there are upgrades that are needed to host these events, then all the better. You know, that is something that will be continue. To me, the facility needs to continue to be upgraded. I know SMG, the state of Louisiana, the LSED, and everyone involved in that whole process believes the same thing, that the stadium, the Saints especially, the stadium needs to be continue to be upgraded and to be competitive for these major events in the future. But right now we are awarded it with the stadium that we have. So that's telling you that there's nothing wrong with the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Right.
It's just when new stadium cities bid for Super Bowl, then it's becoming automatic that they're going to receive one.
Jay, the quick follow-up is, and you kind of touched on it, I'm a Joe fan, right? He sits there and goes, I go to the games. Everything's fine. It looks great. I don't understand what's wrong with it. You know better than anyone else, not only in the bidding process, having gone up against cities with new stadiums, and you've gone and seen these new stadiums and these Super Bowls. Can you kind of give us, you know, a few things? What separates these newer stadiums from the dome? Is it space? Is it lighting? Is it accessibility? Is it electrical? I mean, what specifically makes newer stadiums better than the dome, if that makes any sense?
Well, I don't think it necessarily makes them better for hosting these types of events.
Okay.
You know, and the specifics, that's a question for our good friend Doug Thornton, and he can compare that a lot better than I could. That, you know, I think what it comes down to is the viability in the marketplace for the host team. And I think the last round of renovations, along with the deal that the state of Louisiana put together with the Saints, made it very viable for the Saints to be competitive in the marketplace. And I mean, heck, they won a Super Bowl after that last round of renovations, and the facility continues to be upgraded in a number of different ways since then. The Saints put in, I believe, $25 million on their own this last round of renovations, which includes the lights, the new turf now, and the video boards,
right.
And it just those three changes alone have made a dramatic difference in the way that people view the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So not that much else has changed in the last 5 years since that big renovation. But, I mean, people's idea and their perspective on the place has changed tremendously since with that new lighting. And the turf looks fantastic now on television. As well as in person, and then those video boards on each end are incredible. I mean, they're huge and they're incredible.
No doubt.
So I think people have said, yeah, why do we need a new stadium? What's so great about another new stadium versus what we have right here? And I agree with them.
Jay, this is Brian Bienemy, and my question to you would be, what's harder for you guys? Is it presenting when you're by yourself or when you're in competition with maybe 3 to 5 other teams that are also trying to vie for that Super Bowl?
I think I can answer that tomorrow, but better today. You know, I've thought about that quite a bit. Is this a more difficult process than bidding against another city? And it's definitely different. And there's a lot of different types of anxiety or anxiety for different reasons concerning, you know, an event bid of this nature and this size, where in the past we may have been concerned about who our competitors are, and we may have geared our presentation and all the marketing materials that we send
the sales materials that we would send the ownership a month ahead. We might gear that towards our strengths versus the other cities that we're bidding against. But, you know, there's not that opportunity with this new process. So the first time that the owners are going to hear anything about our bid is tomorrow morning. And, you know, Mrs. Benson, Dennis Lausch and Mrs. Benson are making the presentation, and I hope they knock it out of the park. I'm sure they will. You know, if without having any ability to influence an owner's decision prior to them seeing anything on the bid, that's different for us. So usually we're able to get a lot of feedback if we sent these special boxes we've made or
right.
come up with something really, really New Orleans-centric to send them. Then, you know, Archie Manning would make calls on our behalf, certainly Mr. Benson would, and Dennis Lauscha, and everybody that we had kind of in our team here that knew owners, or that know owners, would make those calls and you know, say, I got your box, man, you know, that y'all really want this, and it's we're so excited, and you get great feedback. Well, there's been no feedback at all because that step is completely taken out of this. So it is strictly about the business proposal, and the business presentation that will be tomorrow. So you ask, is it easier? You think 7 months ago when we were invited to bid? Yeah, this might be easier, but. You know what? It's really not. And it all comes down to tomorrow, and you never know what could happen in the room.
My follow-up is going to be, how important is it that New Orleans does have a very familiar blueprint, a very familiar footprint as far as the logistics are concerned? Everything is pretty much centrally located. You can pretty much walk from point A to point B destination-wise. So how important is that versus a city like maybe a Houston, where things are so spread out and kind of, you know, maybe you might have something on the north side and something on the south, and it's maybe an hour drive time?
Yeah, I think that's important, especially when you are competing directly against another city. We obviously always emphasize how easy it is to do here, the proximity benefit is always something that we put forth first and foremost. But you know relative proximity to the facility and the French Quarter and the river and the CBD and all the hotels does for us is it reduces expenses. And so transportation expenses are a lot less here. You know, the parking expenses are a lot less here because everybody walks to the game. So there's a relative benefit to New Orleans from an expense side for the NFL. And an expense side for the host committee that allows us to compete with these other cities that can raise a heck of a lot more money than us in the private marketplace. So on the surface, when you're bidding against them, that makes a huge difference. This time, it's nice to say, but it doesn't. You're not bidding against another city to compare it to. It does help us as far as what the cost of doing business in New Orleans is versus another city.
Two final things for Jay Cicero, CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. Tomorrow's the big day. How different has this process been where, as you mentioned, in November you started, and to where now we're sitting here in May, and one of the things that you're sending out is a pin of Tom Benson and the logo of NOLA and 24, and it's him. Yeah. It's holding the umbrella. And you know what I'm getting at? How difficult has it been and how different has it been? As you mentioned earlier, you don't have them in your corner making the calls and doing that. And this is the first time you're putting this together and Tom's not here.
Yeah, that's true. And we tried to think of that, you know, where appropriate throughout the entire bid and the presentation. And we thought that the pen you're referring to, which I didn't know you had already. I got a couple on my desk here. That you've seen already. That is, we thought that would be. That's a nice nod to Mr. B, and you know, we want to be able to honor him in every way that we can, And I think Mrs. B is doing a fantastic job of that, by the way. You know, I'm sure when 2023 and 24 comes around and we're preparing for the event, we're going to be doing a lot more because he deserves so much more than we're able to do during this confidential bid process.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the whole process, and if Mrs. Benson and Dennis are successful in bringing the Super Bowl back to Louisiana tomorrow, that it'll all be about Mr. B, and deservingly so.
Yeah, the picture is on an article on NOLA.com that we pulled up here that we're looking at. Final thing for you as well, it's hard to believe 2013 was the last one. I mean, it's kind of in a point where, you know, we mentioned losing to new stadiums and stuff, but it's been a part of the process. It's never really gone this long, hasn't it, Jay? It'll be a big deal, obviously, to bring it back, and hopefully it'll continue to come in. It was almost like a five-year schedule that it was here in New Orleans.
It used to be, and then after 2000, it was actually 11 years between 2002 and 2013. So mm-hmm. It's about the same cycle there, which is likely, you know, where you'll be. You know, if we get one in less than 8 years, I think that would be a coup. But with the competition out there for this event, at Northern cities vying for the event as well.
Mm-hmm.
New stadiums coming online, which I think the next one is Las Vegas. But Los Angeles now being in the mix is going to be they're going to be a major player. Phoenix obviously is becoming a major player out there. They will hopefully be awarded one again, or they hope to be awarded one again tomorrow also, 2023. You come to Texas, and you got the two cities in Texas and their major event fund that they use to attract their big events to that state. You got New Orleans, Atlanta, you know, new stadium, corporate city. Hopefully, they're not a permanent, you know, considered a rotation.
Right.
And then you have the Florida cities, Miami and Tampa. Are viable hosts. And so, you know, you throw in some northern cities in there maybe every once in a while, or whatever new stadiums may come up, or renovated stadiums, and you never know what could happen. But, you know, all I can say is we're happy to be invited in this process, and that hopefully tomorrow we will Louisiana will be awarded its record-tying 11th Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful.
Jay, around what time do you think we'll know?
I'm hoping somewhere around 9 o'clock or earlier tomorrow morning. So Atlanta's 1 hour off from us, later mm-hmm. than us. So I think they start their meeting at 9 a.m., and it'll happen sometime right after that, I think, within 30 minutes or an hour.
All right, and Jay Cicero, CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, he's either going to get good sleep tonight or he's not going to sleep at all. When this
I think it's going to be the latter.
Yeah, exactly. Jay, I think we'll get good news tomorrow. I really do. You guys know what you're doing. Obviously, no doubt, there's a lot of respect for what the Saints have done. And obviously, this city, I think we'll get number 11, man.
Well, I appreciate the support, and I wish you had a vote. I do. Mrs. B could bring it home for us with you in the audience. That's
I hear
sure.
you. I'd love it. Thanks for your time today,
Jay. Thank you
Jay.
So much, Jay.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
I hear you. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll touch a little bit on what he has. You can hear it in his voice. I mean, it's yeah. a big deal, and that's
no
why we
question.
Went back and forth in Shots Fired. We had a little fun to it, but when you start hearing all of the cities in all different places, it's not a guarantee anymore.
No.
And again, we touched on it already. I was making fun. There's no paint, the striping on the...
Yeah.
An injection of $500 million a couple of years from now, you'll take.
It'd be nice.
And that's $500 million right now.
Correct.
Again, 2024 is a few years down the line. It's probably going to be a little bit more. Everything's more expensive.
So. No question.
We'll see it. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Getting yourself fined, what did you think about the officiating tonight?
I never
you won't hear me complain about officials.
What adjustments?
They have a really hard job, and they do a tremendous job night in, night out. I've got nothing bad to say. Nothing but good things.
Just guaranteed all the calls next game.
No, well, here's the thing. So one team went to the free throw line 30 times, was 23 of 30. The other team went to the line 29 times, 21 of 29. Who do you think went to the line the most, Cleveland or Boston?
Boston.
Boston. Yeah. Of course he's not going to complain. They actually got one more free throw.
They had their chances, so I don't think it was officiated.
You and I talked about this at the beginning of the game. I was cutting the sound, and we were listening to him saying, the question being there, I did not watch that game last night and went, man, they're not getting the calls.
No. No.
The team just plays completely different. They're not as aggressive, and they missed easy shots. They had a chance to do it. Again, you go through the box score, LeBron 44. You take away his 44. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying take away his 44, 44. 9 for Love, 13 for Thompson, 13 for Hill, 9 for Josh Smith.
Yeah.
That's not beating you.
No.
Now, granted, you add his 44, and it sort of helps that. Kyle Korver with 14
bench.
Off the bench. Green at 2, Larry Nance Jr. 7. That's it for the bench, for the Cavs.
Yeah.
That's it. Boston just blew it. I thought they missed a lot of open shots and opportunities yesterday for them to not, you know, pull out that game.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense when you look at it. I mean, I said last night, the NBA isn't rigged. It's just scripted. The script writes itself. You know what's going to happen. Boston goes up, the little scrappy team goes up 2-0. All of a sudden, LeBron James goes home. It's 2-2. Now, all of a sudden, I have you right where I want you.
Is that what it is?
The drama, baby.
Well, now it's 2 out of 3.
Exactly. The drama. That's what they want, because we know in the other series, what we saw, blowout win. That's not, by the time halftime, the midway through the third quarter, you were ready to turn the TV.
All right, I'm doing it. I got to do it. Got to give you Inception music.
Because you want.
You just told me.
Yeah.
The series went 2-2.
Yeah.
The pressure is now on Boston. 2 out of 3 to beat the King.
Yeah.
If Houston wins tonight, it's 2-2 going to Houston.
Guess what's not going to happen?
Well, but if it does.
No, there's no if it does.
Then it's 2 of 3.
Houston gave it their best chance.
No, they didn't.
They upset the Golden State Warriors when they won by like 30. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't wake a bear when he's hibernating. And you definitely don't pick soccer over American football.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. And all of those things, including what if? What if? Nah, I can't even. Hold on.
Exactly.
Wait. Lemonhead. Aaron Gordon goes off tonight for 25 points.
Then guess what?
Huh.
He's going to get his 25 and nobody else is going to score, because that means Chris Paul's not putting up 25.
Capella.
He's
going off.
He sure is. He's going right off onto the sideline so he can sit the bench.
Ryan Anderson, just 5 minutes of action, I think combined in the last two games. I think it was one game he didn't even play in. $20 million a year. This is when he earns his money.
You're right. He's going to earn it by picking up everybody's little warm-up uniforms that they're on the ground afterwards. That's exactly what he'll do. Hey, Ryan, can you go grab that for me?
He's the secret weapon. No one's game planned for him.
He's about as secret as the micro-secret sauce up in the Space Jam movie. He's water. He's done nothing. He's not even Gatorade. Doesn't even have electrolytes. He's nothing. All they did was upset the champ.
James Harden for 55.
Did you see? I wish I could find it right now. Did you see the Steph Curry picture when they were getting blown out by the Houston Rockets in game 2? He had the smirk on his face like, you guys don't even understand what's about to happen. And all of a sudden, here he comes, wham, just like that, he just drops 30 on your neck for no reason at all. He's a bully. That's what Steph Curry is. He's a bully. And you know who else is a bully? Kevin Durant. He's a bully. So is Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. And this is only the death squad right there. The Hampton Five is what they call him. I didn't even bring up Andre Iguodala yet with his defensive prowess, or bring up Swaggy P. One of the names that he gave himself, by the way. Yeah. I didn't bring up Swaggy P coming up the bench. And if Sean Livingston crosses James Harden like that again, somebody should call law enforcement, because that got to be illegal. This is going to happen. By the way, Quinn Cook also can help out. You know who Quinn Cook is, right? Yeah, he used to play for the Pelicans. Now he plays for the Warriors. Yeah. Bingo. Good night, Irene. 30-point win tonight.
30 points?
Watch it.
I just want to see a close game. That's all I want. One close game.
You will see a close game.
Tomorrow
close
night.
Close out game.
Boston Cavs.
I think that would be close.
Hour 3 coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover.